preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. We're continuing that interview on the doctrine of regeneration that I recently gave at Covenant Radio.
A discussion with Chris Gordon on the Reformed doctrine of regeneration in part two of our What is Reformed Theology series. Stay tuned to episode 129 of Covenant Radio, October 14th. 2010.
Can we talk a little bit about how an appropriate view of regeneration works itself out in your interaction with the sheep of the flock over which you've been placed?
Sure. Yeah. Well, great question. Let me apply it one other place in Scripture then, just to answer that question.
Yeah, great.
This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, so there it is, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Okay, so he's saying there, you know, while we recognize that regeneration, the planning of life, you know, is a work of the Spirit, and that he's not dependent upon anything to do that. That he is, you know, the wind, like the wind, and how he does that. The Bible doesn't throw out the use of means, and the Bible always points us also to the instrumentality of the Word. So as a pastor, the way that I'm faithful in doing this, I, you know, today we're obsessed in the church with results and obsessed for to get a quick answer out of people. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones called it a rape of the emotions. We rape emotions to get people to make a momentary decision of Jesus. That's not really my job. My job is to minister the Word of God to His people. And understanding that through that instrumentality of the Word, the Spirit does use that to convict the conscience, to further them in that life that has been given to them, so that they, you know, serve one another, love one another, grow in the great gospel truths of Scripture, but to also recognize, as I'm learning in John's Gospel, that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom. So what is my responsibility, knowing that that's the case? Preach that word in season, out of season, because who knows what the Spirit will do through the preaching of that word to change hearts and to plant life in them and mutually strengthen the flock. So There's an ongoing ministry of the word that, as I know, this is the Spirit is using that, word to manifest His truth and purify souls. I mean, that's what he says here: purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So that's part of the responsibility.
And I'm brought back to the passage, classic passage of describing how can one come to faith? How can one believe unless the word is preached?
Right.
You know, it is, and the gospel being the power of God unto salvation, and so forth. Again, we see the power of the word of God in this role in an active sense. And of course, as we know, God equips pastors, he accompanies his word through his Holy Spirit to do his work of calling his children.
Right, and in further answer to your question, one of the things that the word is doing is 2 Timothy 3 is, the word is equipping the man of God for every good work, and I'm instructing him, through the word in my continual ministry to the people. But it's interesting also, 1 John says, we know that we've passed from death to life. Now, notice that we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So it's interesting that all those life passages in John's gospel, John then takes it and applies it and says that life is showing itself in the kind of things that we would never naturally do when we're dead in trespasses and sins. When we're dead in trespasses and sins, anyone who offends me, anyone who wrongs me, I'm going to make some sort of statement to them. I'm going to hate them. I'm going to get even. I'm going to, want full retribution, vengeance, whatever. John is saying the principle of life is showing itself as that word is continually ministered, and it's showing itself so that the people are assured in now that they're doing things that is directly contrary to the old man and the old nature, and they're living those things out. Sure, that's part of what's happened with the principle of life being planted there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of a song. Well, that's actually a psalm. Song, psalm, same thing.
Even better.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I'm with you on that. If you meant what I think you meant. But anyway, another discussion for another day, maybe. But as you and Todd were talking about how the word preached affects, it actually is the means upon which the sinner is called. That's how it happens. The word of God goes forth. The dead sinner is called. Christ's voice, they hear it. And it reminds me, I don't know what psalm it is, but it's the psalm that if today you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Right. In fact, we play that on Solo 5 Radio, shameless plug.
95. It's a wonderful song.
Yes. And it was just on, in fact, it was played today while I was out helping my wife paint the room that we discussed earlier. And, when I was teaching on Ephesians 2 last week at my own church, I just had a sense that although it is highly likely that the majority of people on a Wednesday night are faithful Christians, they're in the family, and but you just never know. And so I took that opportunity to say that if today you heard the Lord's voice, if you heard His voice, don't turn away. Today's the day to respond. And that's how it happens, by God's word going forth in the preaching and the teaching and instruction, sitting down over a cup of coffee or other beverage of choice, and discussing these things with our friends who don't know the Lord. And recognizing, really, understanding that there's no pressure. For me to share the gospel with somebody, there's no pressure. There's just no it's good news. I know it's good news. It's great news. But there's no pressure for me to share the gospel with them because I don't have to convince them of a thing. It's not my job. My job is just to give them the word of God and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. And He's the one who's going to resurrect them if He so chooses. And that's the greatest part about the whole giving the gospel in the first place.
Well, and I think you raise a really good point. I think that that sort of pressure that has been put on people today, to really get out there and get them changed. first off, the first thing we talk about is sanctification with people, and we don't really get to justification, how a sinner's right with God. That's mm-hmm. probably another discussion. But, you're exactly right. You look at these people who went out. I'm thinking of the woman at the well. She was a real mess. Christ gives her living water. What's the first thing she does? She runs out to the city. She runs out to the city of Sychar, and she tells all the men. There's something interesting going on there, because I'm sure she had a bad reputation among the men. She'd had five husbands, and everyone knew who she was.
Not only that, it would be unusual for a woman to address a group of men in that capacity.
And you look at what she said, and you know, it's just a simple telling of who Christ is and what he's done for her. And you know, and here come the white, it's interesting, here come the white-robed Samaritans. You know, when Jesus says, you know, look up, the fields are white for the harvest, the disciples had gone into the city, and they only brought back food. They didn't bring back anyone. This woman goes right into that same city, and within a little bit brings back the men, which is probably representative of the whole city, and they're white robes. So look up, there come the white robes. He's the one that had prepared them, the Lord, through the simple witness of this woman. Fascinating picture.
It is, and it, you know, it, and I think you're right. There's this aspect that is pervasive, I guess, especially on American evangelicalism, but I'm sure it goes beyond the boundaries of America. That we need to be out there winning souls, as though it depended on us. I mean, I get the fact that we need to be about the business of God's kingdom. I get that. I get the fact that we need to be about the business of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Absolutely, that's that we need to be doing that. But that is where we start, and that's where we end. Because after we do that, there's nothing we can do. We can't compel them. We can't convince them. We can't persuade them. We can't do anything to them that will actually enact a real change. I've seen people pray a prayer, walk an aisle, as you were saying earlier, and you come and talk to them 3 years later, and they could care less. They hate everything about Christianity. What happened? Well, nothing happened.
Exactly.
That's what happened. Nothing happened the day you walked the aisle, prayed the prayer. Nothing happened. You were responding to an emotional situation or some other situation, but there was no change. Nothing really took place.
Right.
And that's what regeneration is, bottom line. I mean, at the end of the day, regeneration is certainly all of that. It kind of leads to another point that we – I think Todd sent you. Does regeneration guarantee salvation?
Well, you know, can I follow up on something you just said?
Absolutely.
Okay. I really – the point you just made is really important. I think – in terms of, you know, evangelism today and the way that we're doing things, you know, it's so cheap. You know, stuff attract in somebody's pocket and think we've done our job. You know, the real problem is that you know, we have not assumed that evangelism, it takes place in the local church when the gospel's preached. So we don't have a value of really bringing people back to hear the word proclaimed. And that is the place where they need to be. Sitting under that word, as the Spirit does convict the heart and plants life there, so that they are changed. They are able to hear. But anyways, I just want to make sure that it's important to say that it's bringing people back to the place where God has promised to bless and evangelize the lost in the preaching of His word in that special means. If we just had a real appreciation for that again today, and it was actually being done in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, preaching Christ from all Scripture. These cheap evangelism tricks and techniques would really be exposed.
Well, that was part of an interview that I recently gave at Covenant Radio. You can visit at covenantradio.org to listen to the whole of that. We thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and we invite you to join us for worship this Sunday. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.